As I was just saying off before we started the recording, I have a really hard time with Zoom sometimes because it's not that I don't find what you're saying interesting, but I end up seeing things behind you, and I'm like, "What's with the Maroney poster? What is
I got
that?" And
balloons over there too.
yeah, I know. I was going to transition into my next one, that sort of thing. I find it very hard for people to. I don't know how people can work on Zoom and take one another serious at any point.
No.
No, there's just no way. I mean,
They're
if you're
not. That's see, the key is they're not taking each other serious. That's the thing. It's a joke.
Yeah, it's like if you're a lawyer and you're litigating, and all of a sudden you look over and go, "Seriously, dude, what is that behind you? I can't take you serious. We have to end this meeting." That's why I'm not a lawyer, but that's just where I go with this kind
That's
of
the
stuff.
reason. That's
Yeah.
the
Hey, so I went through some of your stuff on your website, your merch, and your cassettes, and your there's like a combination from what I gather of you was like there's comedy, there's film, there's art. There's music. Where does it all start with you, Devin? Like, what was the first to, was the catalyst to the next, to the next, to the next?
I mean, I guess film was the one I went to school for.
Oh, okay. Where'd you go to school?
I went to Niagara College,
Right.
I went to Humber College, and I went to Mohawk College, and I graduated from all three.
Just for Mohawk
What?
College, does film or was it
No,
TV?
Mohawk College, I took animation. It was like the second year the animation
Right.
course came out, and Humber, I went for comedic script writing for like TV scripts as like a graduate certificate. Because that and that was always the goal, and I just love school. That's I could be if I could, I would just go to school for my whole life.
I totally agree with you. If there was any way I could just go to school my entire existence, I'd never leave.
Yeah, no, I just love. I've always loved learning. I mean, I'm not. I didn't. I don't like necessarily the classic college atmosphere of partying and stuff or whatever. Like maybe the first year, but I loved learning. Oh, gave it to me.
Now, when you took the Niagara Falls one, and you started there, then you said second year animation. You
Or
already had
sorry,
all the credit.
it
You
was
had.
so it was Niagara College. I did it was 3 years there for it was broadcasting, so radio, television, and film. Your last year, you do film or your choice, or TV,
Right. Okay.
video, presentation, or production. And I went production, film,
I was
and.
just going to lead into the fact that you use those credits from Niagara to not take so many courses in or Mohawk College, that sort of thing. Or did you have to just take all the.
I took them all except for a little bit. I think I got out of like one English class, and even that, like I wasn't ever good at English. I think I tried to get out of one script writing course, but they were
Right.
like, nah.
So all these experiences going to school and being creative visually. And then learning about script writing, that sort of thing. How did this transition into your music portion of the art and the filmmaking?
It's tough to pinpoint. I guess I learned a bit about music in broadcasting. So in Niagara College, in the radio program, I learned some of the programs we used back then. It was like Cool Edit Pro.
Sure.
You might know that. I don't know. So, and I would mess around with that and just make like weird beats and stuff. And I was like, that's fun. And I liked making those kind of music beds for radio. And I guess that was like the tinkling of the start of some production. But I was also like, okay, whatever. I'm like, they're always weird. Like everything I made was weird. I remember we were doing a show about, I don't know, funerals or like death. It's called like Death Becomes Them or something. And the beat I made was just like, they're like, okay, Devin, you can make the music for it. I was like, perfect. And it was just silly. Like I made like, I was like, I love it though. It's kind of dark and kind of silly, like life. And they're like, no, it's too silly. Not enough orchestra, not enough orchestra. And
Right.
so I was like, okay, I'm just a weirdo. Maybe I
But
won't.
doesn't that hearken to your perception of death and how it should be treated by, your version of death is that it's a little silly, a little lighthearted,
Yeah.
something to live,
Yeah, but
alleviate the moment. They
they
didn't
didn't
want that.
want that attention.
Well, unless it's spelled out in the criteria on the piece of paper you give me, and that's what you're marking me on, you're getting this,
This
buddy.
is what you get.
This is what you get, absolutely. So you start out, you're doing these like these this little beats that you're saying and the music for radio, that sort of stuff in the beds, and then you start sampling, and then you start putting out some earlier cassettes, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's like years later. Like, I didn't really get into sampling until kind of 10 years after that. Like, and I used to mess around with GarageBand, and I kind of put that to the side. Kind of after all my college stuff, I got more into stand-up. And then, I don't know, I was kind of looking for something. I guess I was just looking for a blend of everything. And I found music and the way in which, so I used this sampler, an SP-404, which is basically, you don't have to use a computer, just other than like when you're kind of done. Mm-hmm. But you just, it's really nice to not stare at a screen. And I don't know. So I started researching about beats and stuff like that and found this. And that's when I really just got into sampling and just, cause then I also was just like, oh my God, I can look for this, the weirdest, like stuff you don't want to listen to, you know, like records that you wouldn't be like, yeah, I'm going to put on, I don't know, this clown soundtrack or whatever, like just clown music or whatever, old TV stuff. And it's just so nice to like be able to kind of look for stuff that you don't necessarily want to listen to, but you want to find sounds that are just insane.
1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 2, 3.
Multitude of lies be answered? Should a man full of talk? Get thee hence, and show not thy face in my counsel, as I cast thee into a barbecue pit of fire. Take thine cursed eggheads with thee. Take thine cursed eggheads with thee. Therefore did they gather them before the tube.
But truly that was the light of the world.
Thank you.
think that's I like what you're saying there, because when I was listening to the Blorf music that you sent me, and I've heard some of your earlier stuff, to me, I call that ear candy. Because I don't know whether it's I'm not quite sure if I have an attention problem or something, but I find if I listen too much of the same thing, I kind of just drift off. I'm not paying attention to it. And like, I need a little something, like I need a little spoken word in with some scratching or a reactionary type of moment with the music that I'm listening to. So that's why when I was listening to Blorf, I was entertained at all times. Like, oh, because I started thinking, where did he get that sample? I wonder if he got that from from a library archives on how to do something, and did he slow the vocal down here, that sort of thing, which has started making me think, because I was listening to the samples, I'm like, okay, that's great. And then I was like, well, where does Devin's voice come into all of this, as far as like, does he actually do any of the voice work on the tracks?
No. So this is just, it's all just kind of instrumental or noises or whatever. And it's kind of like, because I have albums where I rap or whatever, make music with my voice as well. This is just weird beats. It's stuff I like. So it's like, because I use Bandcamp and I love
it. So do I. Yeah, I love Bandcamp.
I love it. It's my favorite. I have Spotify right now just for like work. I can listen to it. And even then the only stuff I listen to there is like kind of harder to find, like, you know, like old funk albums or like just, sure. I don't, the Murphy Brown playlist, you know, songs that were on Murphy Brown, which I, you know, all the good stuff. Right. But Bandcamp, it's just, yeah, because I know the musicians get most of the money, and it's just like kind of the culture they're trying to create, I love. And so that's what I look for as well. Like, so when I create a beat tape, I'm also looking at all the other beat tapes I've purchased or just even looked at. And I'm just like, oh, I love that they're just making music.
Right. So you're talking about you're always listening on Bandcamp. That's where you like to listen to music. Have you pulled any inspiration from any artists off Bandcamp for this Blorf cassette that you put out? Or putting out in May, I should say.
I would definitely say, like, who – I'm just trying to think, like, who – there's a bunch of people when I first started looking into the 404, like the machine that I used to make the beats that were, there's like a guy named, his name's John Wayne. He's on Stone's Throw.
Stone's Throw Records. Yeah.
Yeah. So he kind of like, he was one of the guys who made it almost kind of more famous, the 404 and just beat making like that, or at least one of them, you know. I'm sure that there's many people who have used it, even like, name escapes me. He did Donuts, you know, and he had the 303. Jay Dilla, sorry, there we go. Of course, how can I forget? But anyway, so he like kind of popularized the 303 and just like that form of sampling, which is, you know, where I get some inspiration as well. And there's that's the thing. None of these guys are on Bandcamp. That I'm thinking, I'm like, there's Sam I Am or Samian. Can never get it right. He did an album that was kind of wonky, but his is more less. He like sampled himself a lot more on a keyboard. Which is right. That one's very cool. And a lot of this is always like, I always think of like Dan the Automator stuff. There's, I think he did like all the beats for Deltron 3030. He did Handsome Boy Modeling School. He did an album called Songs to Make Love to Your Old Lady By, which is a beautiful album. Look it up.
Right.
Get it. But like there's some of that early 90s sampling is where I'm kind of grabbing from, even those, I don't know, like Quasimodo. So like Mad Lib, stuff like that, those guys, that's kind of what I'm taking from. And then the modern era of sampling is just, it's a lot of lo-fi. Like people love this like lo-fi, but I try not to be too, lo-fi is that like lo-fi beats to study to, right? Which is that idea where it's just in the background and it's calming and it's cool and you don't have to think about it. And where what I try to do is like, yeah, I try to force you to like, be like, like, what the hell's going on? You're like, what the hell's that sound?
And this, reports of strange lights, UFOs, and weird creatures from space have aroused fear and panic in the countryside.
The next morning at an art lecture at the university, first of all, it was not an El Greco, but the work of an unknown 16th century artist.
picture of it. Anything to keep old Jameson quiet.
Oh,
Yeah, that's exactly how my reaction to all of that. And it's great that you brought that up about the, you know, beast to study to, you know, I get it, but I don't, it's like, I don't know whether it is, I can't concentrate on stuff. It's playing, but then my mind starts racing. So I find more enjoyment about, you know, the quick snippets, that 30 second, you know, like why is that being played that way? Which leads me into the sequencing of your, because you're going to put it out on cassette, which I find most admirable. I still don't get it. I'm like, I'm trying to get it. Well, no, I have one. I bought one. I'm from the era where cassette players came out. Perfect. And it's I know, it's hilarious. But the whole thing is that I remember last year, year and a half ago, I had these same conversations with people out West that were in bands. And I'm like, okay, so you're putting on a cassette. Why? And the reaction from them was, people love it. Like, younger people are buying it. It's like they want to have a cassette. Like, it's it's almost like it's from another era, but it's their music that they want. And I'm like, but how many cassette players are out there for people to enjoy this, right? Like, a person like me is just like, I don't have a cassette player anymore. I ditched it. I ditched all my CDs, you know, that sort of thing. I'm pretty much digital. And I got a collection of vinyl now. So I actually went out and bought one of those like multi things. Which is, you don't do, by the way, because
the album. What do you mean, a multi thing?
Well,
I like looking around. I can see you.
I know. It's terrible, but it's like it's the one where you can put your album in and you can play. It's hooked up to Bluetooth and you can put your cassette in your CD deck, sort of thing, right?
Yeah, but that's like a no-no for audio files or whatever.
You never want to say that to a vinyl purist, or there's trouble.
Yeah.
Right. Because vinyl people just like, ooh, you better have a specific needle and a specific set of speakers. And you're like, okay, great. But I pretty much just like playing KTEL albums right now. So I'm just going to buy this.
My record player is like, I fixed an old broken one, right? Like, I found it in my dad's barn.
Yeah.
Got it fit, like found a new rubber band, bought a head for it. And the thing is, like, what I do with that record player, you wouldn't want to do with your record player, because I get a dusty album, right? Like, I'll find a dusty album. I won't blow the dust off it. I'm like, yeah, like, let's get it as gross and grimy as possible. So, like, I also, you know, I don't really want to play too many good albums on it.
Oh,
want to get back to my own land, back to my own clear waters and back home. Discovered the British Museum and the books on nature there. I suppose that man's but no spring of nature.
And nature's wiser.
He flaps my flapjacks. Cleans off the table, feeds the horses in my stable. My man.
Stacy and me. Satisfaction with our merchandise. The office manager is a jack of the office manager is a jack of the office manager is a jack of the office manager is a jack of
No, you don't want to ruin it.
Yeah, exactly.
But when we were talking about the whole sequencing, where I wanted to lead into was that you have like 29 tracks on Blorf, this cassette, which can also be bought digitally as well.
Yeah.
The sequencing of it, how does it make sense to you? Like
it's like the choice of all 29.
The choice, like okay, so track this has to be track 6 or track 7 doesn't make sense.
It's
storytelling to me, right?
It's very hard, this one, because there's so many. And the tape I ordered... See, the thing, I ordered the tape a couple years ago, like the blank tapes that I record onto.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, it's going to be 20 minutes one side, 20 minutes the other side. And I kind of had what I wanted at the time laid out. Not in order, but I was like, yeah, this is how it's going to be. And then when it came time recently to make this, I was just like, I don't want this track on. Don't want this track on. Oh, but I do want this on. And now it's really tight on the cassette.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where on each side, there's like maybe 2 seconds or maybe even 5 whole seconds where it just like the tape just stops. And you miss like 2 seconds of like, you know, that little bit of the last of the song, which breaks my heart. But it's that's because of a whole other different problem too.
My
normal tape recorder that I record on is broken and I had to go to something else. So how I order it is I just, the one day I had all the ones I knew were going to be on there, and it's side A and side B. So each it's sequenced into 2 halves. And that's where it starts. So it's like, okay, what do I want the first half to be like? And what do I want the second half of this album to be like? Cause it is meant to be heard on cassette technically. Like that's who it's for. Technically. I mean, I still want you to hear it digitally and it's fine digitally. It'll work well, but like my brain is it's going for cassette for the 30 people who can order it. Cause there's only 30.
Sure.
But yeah, it's just like, and I just want them to wind into each other. I don't want too many to sound the exact same side by side, but I don't often want it to be too drastically different. Like I don't want you to go from something calm and smooth into something insane unless somehow in my brain that makes sense. So when I would lay it out digitally and just kind of move them around and listen to like the whole album or like the end of one song and the beginning of another to just kind of
right.
See. We'll be right back.
do vocal sound effects, vocal interpretations.
To liquor to wash away their troubles.
Now, with this Blorf cassette that you've been working on, do you use this as a catalyst to be creative in film and art? Like you take a break from a certain medium and then get re-energized by doing that? Is that the type of
I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't even know what I'm doing anymore.
Nobody knows what they're doing.
I don't think no one ever has.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, do you take a break? Because I have friends, my old buddy Tom, you know, he'll write music and then, well, I'm going to go paint for a while. Well, you know what? I'm going to go write a book. And then all of a sudden it spurs him creatively to do other things.
Yeah, no, I think that's the way to do it. Especially if you're not like, I don't want to say like, especially if you're not, if your job isn't to just be one thing, you should go around and do other things, right? Like nobody's, my money is not, it does not matter if I make cassettes or do stand up or make films or whatever, right? Like right now, how I pay my bills, it does not matter. So I'm allowed to kind of just jump around and enjoy the arts, which I enjoy most kinds of arts. So it is like, yeah, I'm going to make this. And then, I mean, but I write like poetry every day. I draw, you know, I do all these things and I'm always trying to do something. And it's because I also know when I don't, I feel worse. But I also got to watch out not to beat myself up about not creating a project. Because sometimes I do that where I'm like, oh, I haven't done anything. I haven't like made anything. I'm like, I'm a failure. And it's just like, yeah, of the, you know, 5 to 20 people who are willing to listen to me, they're going to be so disappointed or whatever. But it's like, no, I'm just going to beat myself up for no reason. So it's kind of finding a balance of creating and not creating, I guess.
Where can people find, where can people go to find your music, your merch, the whole nine yards?
Bandcamp, Devin Bateson. Bandcamp/Devin Bateson. Or you can go to my website, which has links to my Bandcamp. It's also on Spotify and all the other. All of my music is on the streaming stuff.
What's your web address?
www.devinbateson.com. So DevinBateson.com.
I'll introduce myself. First of all, my name is Jerry Fogle. A lot has been said, a lot has been written about this daredevil of a man.
Sam Elliott played my part and he had the jump contest against the girl.
Y'all motorcycle riders?
Stick your hand up.
Y'all motorcycle riders?
Stick your hand up.
Y'all motorcycle riders?
Stick your hand up.
Y'all motorcycle riders?
Stick your hand up. Does that hurt?
No.
Is the story of you, where you came from, how and why you were born. do know something about it that's very important. You want to make a baby porcupine? Every living person in this world began life in this way. You want to make a baby porcupine? It is a lovely and wonderful story.
I said, I'm sorry. I said, accept my apology. I said, it isn't. I'm sorry for asking.
Now, to think in your own language and speak in a foreign language can present difficulties. Wrote on the board, I don't have no fun at the beach. How would you correct that? Boy, get a boyfriend. Get a boyfriend. Get a boyfriend. Let me drink. Boy, my old man and old lady, tee me up.
I was one of these kids that wanted to be a big shot. One night we were going to kill a case of beer, so we went in the outskirts of town so the local yokels couldn't touch us, and they'll level with you. They'll level with you. Never said why.
Been a fan of yours a long time, and I actually got your first record right when it came out, and was aware of you, you know, as you made records, and thought I knew you just based on the music you were putting out. And then you wrote this book recently called Horror Stories, and I realized I didn't know you at all, and it's fascinating to get a different perspective from inside an artist's experience, because right off the bat in the prologue you say, my songs have been stories that are like diary entries and ways to express my feelings and look at my feelings. And the book itself is incredibly confessional and incredibly private. And I wondered what the impetus was for deciding to write that confessionally about things that you never had an obligation to tell anybody.
And yet, at the same time, I meet so many people that tell me their personal stories because of my music, and I have been lucky enough to hear from fans that really have carried me through some of the darkest times of their life and used me as, like, a friend or a comfort or some kind of sense of that I'm there for them, my music is there for them, and that I speak in a way to the things that they can't speak about. And I think I've always carried that with me from the very beginning as a sense of obligation, that people come to me looking for some kind of sense of not being alone or that they are seen or heard or felt. And music has been that way for me as well, like my favorite artists. So I think that I've always had a sense, ever since I put out Exile in Guyville, that people were looking to me for more than just a great song or a great album. There was something more that they responded to in the way I presented myself and that they needed from me. And I think that in the world, there's too little of it. There's too little of a sense of, you know, we're in this together and that it's tough to be a human being and that the plight of humanity is the same at every level. I think that's something that I like to speak about and make art about, just our humanity, our shared humanity, the things that we all have in common.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
And your host, Gunnar, here. In this hour of the show, we're going to do a mixture of surf music that's indie with a lo-fi with a twist of indie mix in each song. Does that make sense to you? I was going to do a traditional hour of surf music. And then I was like, okay, well, you know, to me, I love surf music. I really think we should have more surf music coming out of Canada and Ontario. But then I started listening to this other stuff, and I went, oh, this influenced this, this influenced that. The indie style is coming off of this end of this whole surf style of music. So I went, okay, let's just put this set together. So here we go. In this set, you're going to hear